This is RSBNB Update, episode 546, recorded Friday, December 11th, 2015, The Intrinsic Motivation. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us once more for RSBNB Update. Sitting in with myself this week is Colton of RSBNB and former fame, and maybe some other things.
Hi, yeah, that's me.
Are you famous?
No, unfortunately. Maybe one day.
All right. Also joining us this week is the RR Man, who you guys might have heard once or twice send in podcast questions, and, well, we thought might as well just have him on the show one of these days. So, welcome to you.
Oh, it's good to be here. I'm also not famous, but that's because I'm from New Zealand, so yeah, it's sort of like a default.
Well, you know, there are ways to become famous in New Zealand, and lots of people just like you guys for your accent, so that can make you famous, right?
Yeah. I've already filmed the Hobbit films and the Lord of the Rings trilogy, so I think I'm done for 10 more years at least.
Yeah. I mean, the Hobbit airplanes and whatnot, That shows you guys really go all out in that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. You guys are also contracting out the choosing of a new flag to your countrymen through a referendum.
Correct. They just put out the result yesterday as well.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm not sure what I think of the new version, but we won't go into that here.
I preferred the red one, if I have to say anything, but we'll leave it at that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean a flag is so crucial to national identity, and it really sums up what your country means. So it's not something I would let the public decide, but that's just me. We're, as you can tell, getting a bit off track here.
Well, to be fair, the public, not much of the public decided, because I think less than 20% or something people voted. So, yeah, it didn't go too well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I wish I could say something about a referendum in Colton's country, but I don't think you guys have those.
Not to my knowledge, really.
No.
Unfortunately.
Anyway, so this week's RS update, part two of the Christmas quest. This week it is called Live and Let Slide. And of course, once again, named after a James Bond movie. So we're going to talk a bit about that. So let's get started. So you basically teleport up to the Christmas Island using the lodestone. Make sure that you bring your amulet of ice, because you do need to summon the ice imp. And I forgot that the first run, so I had to go back for that. So you definitely want to bring the ice amulet with you, so you can summon the imp. Anyways, once you do that, it's a matter of finding Jack Frost's parents and
Frost. What?
I just transposed right some Jack letters Horst. There in my head. Unfortunately,
Emmy Frost.
Yes, Jack Frost's parents. Sorry about that.
Nearly got past us there.
Anyways, so he needs to find his mom and his dad. This part of the episode involves finding his mom. And in doing that, you need to distract the penguins away from guarding the presents. And, well, how do you do this? You keep skating on the ice rink until all four of them try and block your path on the ice rink. And then once all four of them are on the ice rink and incapacitated, you gain access to the present, freeing Jack Frost's mom. Quest complete.
Hooray!
Nice and simple. That's what I like about these Christmas quests. I mean, it gets players involved in quests, and it gives them an idea of what a quest can be, but it's simple, takes only, you know, tops 15 minutes, and away you go. So
yeah, they're really easily digestible, and I don't know, the rewards are nice, but it's just nice to have something to log in every week and to consume yourself, even if it's only for 15 minutes or so, to do something like that. It's whimsical and fun.
Yeah, and holiday themed nonetheless. You know, there's some questions about the implementation of this week's part, and whether or not it's accurate, which I can go into, but I'll just get you guys' opinions first. What did you guys think of this episode?
I thought it was fine. I mean, I don't see how it was any better or worse than last week. I mean, you got to take them as sort of old style, because to me that's what they are. It's just a do this thing, and it's really quick. It's not really, I mean, no, you wouldn't call it a fetch quest because that's not what it is, but it's just simple. And
it's like a side quest.
I don't really expect much from it, so I guess I didn't expect anything more or less than what I got, so.
All right. How about you, Mr. RRMan?
Oh, I'll probably have to ask me in 2 weeks, so I think I'll just do them all at once.
Oh, okay.
At the end. Yeah, that's. I'll have to get around to it as well, so don't hold me to that.
I think that's an interesting perspective to take on this quest as well, because you can play them all at once, like you're going to, or you can play them as they come out. And I think you might maybe find more immersion if you were to play them all at once, so we'll have to check back on that. And I know that's what Reed's waiting to do, so I'll have to wait and see.
Interesting.
Okay, so skating in RuneScape.
Yeah.
And did anyone else notice any problems with this?
Well, I mean, my biggest issue is it looks kind of funky, because I feel like, I don't know, that the my biggest issue when I look at it is the arms. Like, I don't know. It just all looks kind of awkward, and just like you're kind of just, I don't know. It almost looks like you're just trudging through a swamp, more like more than you're ice skating. Maybe that's
okay.
Just me.
Have you ever gone ice skating?
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys do that in that part of the U.S.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, not this year because El Nino. It's like 50 degrees out today.
Okay, so you guys do it outside.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Good. 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 And now this ties into the story I want to tell you guys. In Canada, it is
pretty cold.
Well, yes, in the winter, of course, but it's pretty much an accepted fact that as you are growing up here, you get a pair of skates at some point and you learn how to skate. And, you know, you can do this at the neighborhood skating rink. You can do this at a local arena if you're an unfortunate soul who lives on the lower mainland of BC because you don't get cold enough weather there to do it outside. Or you can do it on a pond close to your house. Or you can do it on a backyard skating rink that was made for you. So this is something that we do here. It's built into the culture. So I was very happy to see this come into RuneScape because, you know, this is the quintessential part of winter in Canada and leading up to the Christmas season, of course. So that I was happy about. And, you know, you learned how to skate, and I've never seen anyone skate like we skated on RuneScape, except for people in the Olympics. So, that is probably my biggest niggle about this Christmas quest, is that when you're skating for this quest, it looks as though you are skating the speed skating track in the Olympics. Because, like you said, Colton, your arms, they don't exactly look like how they look when you normally skate. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I've never skated on a track. Have you?
Nope. Never before.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think in that case, a more open pond would have been a better solution to getting the skating aspect done in the quest. It wouldn't have required too much different. You could still have penguins come out at you and whatnot. So that's the biggest concern, the motion of the arms and the fact that we were skating in a track. And, I mean, another interesting thing is when you start skating, when you're 5 years old, you don't put your own skates on, at least not the first few times, right? You get someone else to do it, which I thought was a nice touch in this quest. Maybe not intentional, but Jack Frost put your skates on for you.
And he does it every single time you go back.
I know. And
I find that kind of weird.
Well, yeah, especially when, you know, we're the adventurer and whatnot. So.
Like, I'm a world guardian. I can put my own damn skates on. Thank you very much. I'm sorry.
So it's like we're being treated like we're 5-year-olds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are just a few concerns, but that mainly comes from, you know, growing up with this and actually doing this outside. But I like the touch. I was really hoping last year that we'd get skating in that poll for 2014's winter event, but we didn't, and obviously they found a way to work that in here, though in a speed skating track, I'm not sure that's the best kind of thing. So basically the story goes is that everyone, including myself, has lived through this part of the RuneScape quest, except not on the track. I've had someone put my skates on for me. I've learned how to skate. Unfortunately, I can't do it anymore, but it is a very fun thing to do in the winter, especially when it's nice and cold outside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, Colton, did you do it on a pond or a neighborhood rink, backyard rink?
Yeah, before my grandma died. Oh, no. Sorry, not bringing it down here. But my grandparents owned this really huge piece of property, and they had two different ponds. And the one right in front of their house always froze pretty quick because it was fairly shallow. And so we would always ice skate on that. And it was really, I don't know, because like my uncles all taught me, and it was really fun. So I agree.
Ah, that sounds perfect.
It is.
That's perfect.
It'd be nice if it actually froze here soon, but we have a rather warm winter, which is unfortunate. But what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's just, you know, the yearly trend that comes with El Nino, even though some would think it's related to other things, but it's evidently not. But
aliens.
Ha. Ha. Ha.
Well, last 2 years we had Arctic chill and we had record low temperatures, like minus 20 in several days, and so that was
nice.
And then we're switching to where it's barely even breaching the freezing mark. But I'm detracting here. So back on the topic. That's yeah.
It's nice and cold. Is the point. But anyways, so that's part two of the Pinch Who Stole Christmas, Live and Let Slide, and the reward for this week is the ice skating emote, which I guess is okay. I mean,
yeah.
I wasn't overly impressed with it, but it's something to remember the event by.
I mean, it's an emote. What are you gonna? Emotes are.
It's a emote.
Yeah, holiday emotes especially are usually fairly simple. The only times they really go like crazy with emotes is when it's either a paid emote or it's like a skill cape, in which case then they'll actually do something cool, but most emotes are simple and
Yep. Alright, anything else on Live and Let Slide before we move on?
Nope.
Alright, man.
Nah, let's keep going.
Alright, well,
let's get past all the quiz topics, man. Am I right?
No, quest topics are the best. Next is the Master Quest Cape.
Oh, okay.
So this is obtained from curator Heg Helen at the Varrock Museum. It is ultimately going to require you to do the following. Complete all quests, mini-quests, and unabridged sagas. Unlock all additional post-quest rewards. Complete story-rich content such as court cases and player-owned ports. Complete content derived from, or an expansion of, quest content, such as temple trekking. Obtain all titles which demonstrate a story achievement, such as Virelord or Annihilator. Obtain items significant to the storyline, such as the Gilded Cabbage or Crest of Saren. And obtain lore journals. So, Colton, you are the one actively going for the Master Quest Cape. How close are you?
I have one more requirement. Well, unfortunately, it's sort of anticlimactic because it's my own freaking fault because it's ports. I have one last trio mission, and that trio mission requires max ports voyage, and I'm at like 5.6 million, and the max is 6 million. So in about 2 weeks or so, I'll have max ports voyages, or max distance rather, and I'll actually be able to roll for that that trio voyage. How long it'll take to get that voyage is up in the air, but
they're pretty rare. It took me about 2 weeks.
Yeah, I luckily got my second to last one just today, and I actually just brought it in before the show. And it was successful, so that's nice. But the list tells me I have two, because it says that I have not fully unlocked fully unlocked Eagle transport routes, which I most assuredly have. I went through the first time before they put out the official list, and I did that. And then I went back when I saw it on my list not being checked off, and I like built all the rope racks and everything like that, because I thought that might be it, but... Apparently, I've heard from several people in the clan. Clan Quest, by the way, is a great quest or great clan for people who like quests. Sorry.
Nice plug. Sorry, I'm just not nasally enough. I just can't do it.
But yeah, we were discussing, and apparently it's a fairly common bug, and I guess they're having a look at it. So hopefully that's fixed by the time I actually have the last requirement, but. We'll see, but it's such a great cape to go for. It took me months and months to just, there's so much to get through. Like, the list is long. A lot of them are quick, but there are some, like the Ripper Demons and 117 Dungeoneering. The journals can be painful, so... Last Riders causes a lot of people some stress, but I didn't.
You're right there, Shane.
And the journals are not guaranteed from Dungeoneering, correct?
Oh, no. Just a PSA for anyone out there who didn't know and will be going for the Master Cape. Use perfect Dungeoneering juju potions, because those increase your risk of getting journal pages. And there's also... Oh, crud. Because Marmaros and Thok letters, I know a lot of people... I had trouble, personally, getting 4 and 5.
Right.
And I had to brute force them, but apparently, on the day that it was released, Mod Manti actually released the official floors that each letter is dropped on.
So, oh, good.
I can find that Twitter status here soon and put it in the show notes.
Yeah, that would be good. We definitely want that.
Yeah, so that helps. But yeah, there's some RNG to it. They've tried to eliminate. There used to be some really nasty ones.
Oh, yeah. Remember when it was going to have the friggin' Livid Farm in it?
Uh-huh. I would not have gone for it with the Livid Farm. And they also had the, was it 3K
Chompy
or
Bird
5K?
Hunting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chompy Birds, no thank you.
Like,
you
what?
Only have to do 30 now. So, yeah.
Thank you.
I wouldn't have done it without that.
That's good. That's good. So, I should probably go for this cape.
You probably should.
It is, you know, part of being a podcaster, experiencing all the content, and also, you know, playing a major role in Clan Quest that kind of says maybe I should be working on something like this. I mean, it's not ever going to be a requirement to be a part of Clan Quest that you need a Master Quest Point cape. I mean... Unless we get to a point where we have so many members that we need to start limiting by that. But still, that's rather draconian. But
I think I agree with you in that. I think it was you who stated, I think it should be a rank
I did not agree with that.
Oh, no, you said it shouldn't. Sirion was the one who said it should. And see, I personally think it should. I don't know. That's just me. I think only a few people have it. I know Alaska does. Several are going for it, but yeah, it's going to be interesting.
All right. 117 Dungeoneering is going to be hard.
Yeah.
I mean, the easiest way of doing that is going to be sinkholes daily and daily Dungeoneering tokens or challenges when they come up.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is easily 200k XP right there if you play your cards right. No pun intended, even though you do actually play cards. You do actually play cards.
Well done.
Temple tracking is also another major stumbling block, because I was traumatized by that way back when, because before they updated it, the NPCs in temple tracking were, to put it mildly, idiots.
Yeah.
So.
The third one still is, but the first ones, the easy NPCs, actually, once they get to a decent level, you can just let them fight, you know? It's not a big deal. They can actually help you.
I started that the other day, and it's actually, yeah, it's quite good. It's easy.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
That's what the easy characters make you think.
Oh, well, I'll just stick to them then. I was just trying to get the lumberjack outfit, so.
Oh, that's probably what actually committed, or did not commit, contributed to the insanity part of that, is because I think I spent 12 hours getting the lumberjack outfit.
Oh, okay. I've only got one piece so far, and I got it in the first one. So.
And I did not complete temple tracking in 12 hours. And as you can see, that's why it kind of protracted it out and made it like, oh, this is so painful.
Wow, you didn't complete it in that amount of time?
Nope.
Huh.
It
must have been different. I don't know.
Oh, it was very different back then when it first came out.
Okay, because it took me maybe about that long, but it was, I only got two pieces of the outfit through my time. I did a lot of the method where you AFK and they fight for easy medium so that I could just level them up quicker, because that was my main goal. I didn't really focus on trekking to level up until the hard ones. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Quick question.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can you do the entire thing if you just go through easy, or do you have to go through the medium and hard paths eventually?
You need to get every single NPC to 99 for the Master Quest Cape.
And also for the Mauritania Elite Tasks.
So, but can you do that going through just easy paths, or do you have to go through the other paths?
Oh, you can go through easy paths, but it's more efficient to go through hard paths because they'll give you more XP.
And plus, I'd also like to point out that if you've done the latest Vampire Quest, Lord of Vampirium, the Sun Spear is a good weapon to use during temple tracking.
Yes, that's a quest, isn't it?
Yes.
Damn quests.
Yep.
Quests.
If you're going to be around RSPB update, you need to appreciate quests.
Quests are good. I like quests.
You're doing good. You're on your way.
You can find the full list of the Master Questscape requirements in your Hero tab under Completionist next to the Comp and Trim Comp requirements. Make sure you click Master Quest before going in there, or you'll be on your way to a Comp Cape rather than a Master Questscape.
Wouldn't want that.
Which I personally do not think you want to do 5,000 Castle Wars games, or however many it's at now. I think it's around 3,500 given the way they changed it. But,
yeah, however many you need for the Thaler. I mean,
okay, that's enough talking about completionist ideas right now. This weekend we have a winter weekend on RuneScape covering bossing and Slayer. So that means that you'll get improved drops from the Kalthite King and the Giant Mole of all creatures. I don't know why anyone would want to go.
It's an odd
mole.
Choice, isn't it?
Well, I mean. Given
the best bosses in RuneScape.
I think you would personally choose the Kalthite King in this case.
Well, yeah.
I mean, unless you want the ability to get ultra growth potions that can skip a growth phase on your tree. Because the mole does drop those.
Uh-huh.
Which I considered doing for farming, but I never really got around to it. Because, well, I just thought it's better to invest time in on money-making rather than the farming itself. But next time a farming skill of the month comes up, that is going to be a way that people are going to play this, or play the farming skill of the month. But that's a topic for another day. You also get increased chance of rare drops and enhanced Ring of Wealth. So,
So wait, when it says rare drops, that's rare drops for every Slayer creature, maybe?
Well, I think it basically means, since it's paired with the Ring of Wealth, that you will have a higher chance of landing on the rare drop table.
Yeah, so that's going to be
but
the
I mean, the rare drop table is still a decent thing to land on, right? Because it can drop things in large quantities. You know, one drop that I've always been looking forward to maybe catching on the rare drop table is the seeds, because you can get things like magic seeds and whatnot, like 80 of them, I believe. So,
it'll be Shane's dream there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, I'm sorry, only 4. But still, that's a lot. That's one farming run.
Still enough to get you going, eh?
Exactly, exactly. So, rare drop table is good. You also get one more charm drop per kill than normal, so excellent weekend to fight the water fiends.
Mm-hmm.
50% increased base slayer XP. Nice. Double points from regular and group slayer assignments. And over the period of the weekend, all slayer tasks are treated as using a VIP ticket.
That's the best bit right there.
Why is that?
That's good. Oh, it's awesome having... I'm guessing it just comes up with the two options, like not like when you use the tickets. Is that exactly how it goes?
Oh, okay.
Because, that's always good.
So and you can basically you choose your task.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's excellent.
Gives you more options.
Options are good.
You know, it would be nice if there was a way to have this permanently unlocked, right?
Yeah, man. We'll go do some mini games, just get those tickets.
Cabbage Face Sponge Bonanza.
Are they in the Thaler shop?
Is that what's on now? Is it?
Oh, that's a good question. Are they in the Thaler shop? I'm not sure.
Yeah, they were. They are, I think.
Okay, well, that's positive then.
That's convincing.
Well, I mean,
I would search it up, but I don't know. I'm not sure how to spell.
Well, I mean, if either you guys are in game, just have a quick look at your Thaler store. But
yeah,
also,
they are.
They are. Excellent.
Yeah, 5 each.
That's how excellent. I get them. So. Yeah, I've got you know, and the good thing is you don't use them most of the time, because if you pick the first task anyway, it doesn't use a ticket. So.
Indeed. Also, 10% cheaper instance fees if you're the bossing kind of person, since we know so many people like PVM, and extra training points from boss training. You know, I'm not sure what that is. What is boss training?
I think it's when you, like, take a person who's under a certain amount of kill count and, like, you sort of act as a tutor to them. And that's, like, if you accrue a certain quantity of points, you end up unlocking, like, a pet. There's, like, an owl, like a teaching owl pet thing.
Like the owl from Harry Potter?
I was thinking, okay, maybe.
What's
like
the owl from Harry Potter called, Shane?
Edwin.
I do not know.
Okay. You've seen Harry Potter?
Yes, I have. I have. Many, many moons ago when it first came out. Only the first two movies, though.
Stick to your Star Trek references, eh? How about that, by the way? Can we just... Quick side note. Isn't it a bit of a kick in the gut that the Star Wars movie is going to have the Star Trek trailer in it? I just thought that was humorous myself.
It will?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. That's what I hear.
Well, I mean, that's good, because the Star Wars fans need to be educated on the true way, right?
Maybe you should go see Star Wars to see the trailer, Shane.
He's not going to do it.
That's a rather steep investment.
Yeah, have you seen any other movies yet, Shane?
Any other
Moving
Star Wars
on.
Movies?
Yeah, any other Star Wars movies?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we never will.
Quickly move along before we lose listeners.
Anyways, the training points. So when a non-practice mode boss goes down, so if you're helping someone inexperienced, anyone with 10 or more kills on that boss who makes it to the top 15 damagers will receive 1 point for each person with fewer than 10 kills who also make it to the top 15. So if I was a noob at a boss like the Calphite King or Virago, and I went with someone who was experienced with more than 10 kills, and that person taught me well enough to put me in the top 15 damagers, then that person would receive points. for each person that they bring and train. Yeah. And at 50 points, you get the Mortarbeard head override. 250 points is the master title, and 500 is Cornelius the Owl. So the, there's your owl. Yes, that is the sound an owl makes.
Thank you for confirming that, Shane.
But anyway, so that's what the Bossing and Slayer weekend's going to look like. I honestly think the best thing here is the Slayer XP, or the charms if you're going for summoning.
And the Slayer tasks treated as using a VIP.
Oh, yeah, true.
Very handy.
Why couldn't they have just put more bosses on this list? What detriment would it have been to be God Wars Dungeon and Nex? And it's like, I don't, because most of those things are cheap anyway, so what would it have hurt? I don't know. This is a rather underwhelming. I mean, I wouldn't have personally done bossing because I haven't done PVM since Araxor, but I don't know. I just think it's a little silly that it's a bossing and Slayer weekend. I think they should have just made it a Slayer weekend.
I agree with that. And I mean, there would have been no downside of putting the God Wars on there. So.
Exactly.
Anywho, let's also remember that the Fest of Aura is able to be accessed through all of December 2015. We did not mention this last week, and we should have, because the Fest of Aura hasn't really been mentioned at all this month in the Jagex News Post. It was mentioned in the first one, but that's it. So this is a reminder to everyone out there to make sure you use your Fest of Aura daily. It's a daily aura. It provides you with a 50% XP boost for 30 minutes, or I believe until you hit 50,000 XP, bonus XP gain. So, I mean, let's say you're doing summoning, for example, and that's an expensive skill, or herblore, or construction. It's definitely something that you want to look into, because, I mean, a penny saved is more XP, right? So, definitely.
I think that's exactly how the expression goes.
Well, I mean, you gotta apply it to RS, right?
Yeah.
So.
Seems appropriate.
Yeah, I used it on my Herblore XP, but the problem with Herblore and the way I'm doing it is that I'm farming my own herbs, so I'm not training it every day, because at most I'm getting 100 herbs a day based on the way I'm doing these herb runs, and I'm not, you know, going to be going flat out like I did during the competition. So, anyways, Fest of Aura, it's good, and if you don't have it, you can head over to Zuan in Varrock or Dilwyn in Pervitinas to pick up the aura if you somehow destroyed it or did not get it. Okay, so next up this week, we are moving away from the Christmas and questing theme over to the new ranged and magic defenders. I almost said auras there. Last week we had the defenders come out for melee at level 70, 80, and 90. And once again, I'm left feeling underwhelmed that we did not get these at the beginning of November. Because the magic defender, I personally think, would have been very useful at the Wyverns, as would the ranged defender have been very useful at the Camel Warriors. So I'm left feeling kind of disappointed about that.
I think they would have brought them out if they could. They just, well, it was, they were not ready.
Exactly, they weren't ready. But you know, you're doing a Slayer month with creatures that require large amounts of defensive posturing from the player. Why not better tailor the development schedule to get these out first?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways, level 70, 80, and 90, similar to the way the melee ones work, as in you need to get the sigil from the Barrow's chest, the piece from Nex, or the enhanced chitin from the Kalphite King. Now the
chitin.
Sorry, I'm sorry, chitin. That's how I like. I always hear people say chitin. I don't know why it's so popularly pronounced that way.
That's how it's spelled, buddy.
Well, we need that added to
the. How you say it? RR.
I just don't say it. So let me give it a go. Perfect chitin. Yeah, there you go. Nailed it. Good on you, Shane. High five.
Right on.
Right on. Yeah. Love that saying.
All right. So let's say that you want to get the level 70 range defender. You give it a Carl's crossbow or an RM staff if you want the magic one. If you want to get a level 81, well, you need to combine it with Ancient Emblem with a Chaotic Splint, which is 150,000 tokens from the Dungeoneering store.
No!
So it's the same price as an offhand. Or no, I'm sorry, it's a little bit more than an offhand, because offhands are 100k tokens, aren't they?
Yes, they are, aren't they?
Yeah, so 150k. Hmm. I mean, nice middle ground, because it's a defender, and...
Oh, yeah, I see what you're doing there.
Exactly. Nice. Because it's partially defensive and partially offensive, so it's in between.
You're on fire, buddy.
I know, eh?
Yeah, right on.
And at level 90, you can combine them with an offhand Ascension crossbow or a Seismic Singularity.
Or you don't. This is insane.
And you know, you're entirely right on that. That's the real kicker here, because the Seismic Singularity is currently going for 139 million on the exchange.
That's crazy.
And it has actually just ticked up. It used to be 115 or so, but it's nowhere near the 700 million it was back in January of 2014. So we can be thankful for that, I assume? Question mark, question mark.
Who would do it, you know? Why? I don't know.
What do you think about them using the shields from the, what is it, Rise of the Six for this?
Well, the problem with that is those were melee, weren't they?
Isn't there one for each? Or
there's one for each.
There's one for each, isn't there? So wouldn't that work perfectly? Just an idea.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
But those are more defensive than offensive.
Yeah.
We're halfway in the middle.
Well, no, you don't get more defensive than a kite shield, right?
Well, I'm just saying you'd probably smash the shield up and just use bits of it for the defender. I don't know what they're doing with these things. They're smaller. Well,
one could theorize that the reason that they're doing this is because they want to take tier 90 weapons out of the game. But the thing is that then why did they make it? I still... that you have to kill the Calphite King to get this, and so it's not like we don't have enough Drygors in the world already, because they are so dirt cheap compared to what I bought them at, and I'm pretty sure what you initially bought yours at, Shane. Yep. And it's just like, if that was the intent, then they fudged it up entirely, so I don't know what to think.
85 million GP right now for the offhand Ascension crossbow.
Oh, that's come down quite a bit.
Wow. Yeah, I paid 200 for both. That's always nice.
I just use my port's weapons because I'm cheap.
Yep. And little secret here for everyone, if you're wondering, is it worth me to upgrade to tier 90? It's about a 6.6% DPS boost from tier 85 to tier 90.
Which makes all the difference.
Yep. So there's
all the 6% difference.
And, I mean, there's no reason not to use Port's weapons with that kind of task for Slayer.
Yeah,
I mean, you're even probably good with level 75 or 80 weapons with Slayer. Yeah. I think at least.
I got a Rexor with my level 85, so...
Oh, okay.
Probably takes me a minute or two longer, I'm assuming, but I live and I make it to the end, so...
Wow.
I killed a Rexor with a Royal Crossbow for Shane, but it never turned out to... It never worked.
Wow.
That's good.
But you know, I think part of the reason of having to go to the Barrows, having to go to Nex, and having to go to the Calphite King for this, we're rehashing last week's update, by the way, is because the defenders were meant to be stepping stones, in that you get the bronze defender, then you get the iron, then you get steel, mithril, adamant,
what was that second one there?
Iron.
Ah, gotcha. Iron. Yeah. Iron. Yeah.
Dragon, Barrows, next slash God Wars, and then finally Kalphi King Drygor. So they're stepping stones, and you've had to kill stuff along the way for each one. And we outgrew the Warriors Guild at level 60, so I can see why they're doing this. I have no problem with killing things to get the piece to attach to the defender. It's just some of the secondary ingredients seem, like we said, I mean, okay, 85 million for an offhand range defender at level 90. No thank you.
Yeah, agreed.
And I mean, the uses of these are limited, and I mean, the only time I can see someone really wanting to go with such a weapon loadout that involves offense and defense, with, of course, the defensive abilities, is if at some point in the future they put out, you know, a raids boss or some other high-level bossing encounter that does require you to use shield abilities and put out a decent amount of damage. As in, you're not going to be tanking the thing, but you're also required to do damage to it. It's that middle ground where a tank's not required, but you do need some shield abilities. So that's where these sit. And, I mean, it's not something we need, because when it comes down to Slayer and pretty much everything else in-game, DPS is the way to go, and you don't accomplish that with the Defender. So that's the verdict on these. I'd say go for Barrows, go for maybe Necks, but I think at this price, it's kind of a silly idea to go for the level 90 Defenders.
Definitely.
All right. Anything else on the defensive nature of RuneScape before we move on to the patch notes?
Nope.
So, quickly though, do you get to use every shield ability with the Defenders? Because someone told me you don't get the ultimates.
I believe it's every shield ability, yes.
It's a bit ridiculous, I reckon, in my own opinion. Taking shields further out of the game.
Yeah.
Not that anyone uses them anyway.
They tried to buff them, like, a few months ago. It was like, oh yeah, shields are going to be the new thing again. It's like, they're going to be good. And then we just turn around and be like, yeah, we're just kidding.
It's the DPS race. If you don't have DPS, you got nothing. And exactly. Evolution of Combat made that a thing in RS.
Mm-hmm. Faster, faster, faster.
Exactly. And I'm not sure how I feel about that. A couple weeks back, I went into Legacy mode on Combat just to, you know, see how it felt doing a Slayer task. It's slower, but, I mean, it's less intensive, and you're not necessarily gaining anything aside from speed by using EOC. So, I think that's something that needs to be addressed, and maybe we can address the usefulness of shields with it.
With Inventor, maybe? Ooh, probably not. I hope Inventor sorts out shields. It's one of my hopes and dreams. Ready to be crushed.
See, the problem is that an offhand weapon gives you half the damage that a main hand weapon does for a tier, okay?
Mm.
Now, a defender gives you 25% of the damage that a main hand weapon does, a single-handed weapon. Now, extrapolating this further, a shield gives you 0% of that damage. So you're giving up a huge point of DPS. And the only way you're going to get people to use shield abilities and defense abilities in general is A, if they don't require a shield being held, or B, you somehow increase the DPS to be equivalent of an offhand weapon. Which...
buff the abilities, defense abilities maybe a bit.
Maybe, but if you increase the DPS of a shield to be on par with an offhand, that, once again, throws combat out of balance, which is something we fought against with EOC. So,
hard,
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to make shields worthwhile.
It's going to be hard. See, what I was thinking of Inventor is maybe you could add things to a shield like a reflection chance or something like that that might help them out, but you know, that's what I'm hoping, at least. Just, you know, maybe get one that reflects 10% of the damage or something
they already absorb that much damage and reduce it. I mean, but reflecting it, I mean, I guess you could do that. In theory, what you would do then is you would say, okay, so you have you have a defender, and in addition to just doing 25% of the base damage, maybe it does between 7.5 and 12% extra damage. So then this puts us somewhere between 33 and 35% damage compared to your offhand weapon, which does 50%. So maybe that might be a case to get that going. But still, that does nothing for shields, right?
Nah, that makes me sad and sad.
I mean, the other option, of course, is to go with something like you have for the Dragonfire shield, which takes charges in and then can let them out as damage.
I miss my Dragonfire shield.
Well, yeah, level 70, 70 weapon and best shield in the game for the longest time. Oh,
I hope I invent how I can make an awesome Dragonfire shield. Give it some real good abilities. Have they even confirmed that shields can get stuff on them? I'm sure they have. New, like, you know, perks or whatever. Have they confirmed that? I'm sure. Surely.
I haven't heard either way. I think
that'd be hilarious if it didn't. Yeah. Well, they've got, you know, armor and weapons. Oh, I don't know. I hope so. That would just be a laugh if they don't.
Moving on. Indeed.
Right on.
Patch notes this week. Increase the Slayer XP of Living Wyverns, Ripper Demons, Camel Warriors, and Archeron Mammoths by between 50 and 200%.
Which one got 200%?
That's a good question.
That is a lot of XP.
And I mean, I didn't exactly go out there to have a look, but if I had to venture a guess,
Mammoths,
it would probably be the Ripper Demons. More the Camel Warriors, because I think those two had the lowest life point pool. And in the past, Slayer XP was lightly correlated to the amount of life points.
I don't know if this has changed, but the wiki says that the Mammoths gives you 3.9k XP for Slayer. That's quite a bit.
I think it was 3,300 before.
Oh, okay.
That's a low increase then. Very low.
That's probably
50%,
the
though.
Yes. Quick math.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, good stuff.
Well, yeah, that's what Colton does, right?
That's what he's here for.
Somewhat.
But
the numbers.
In some ways, it just speaks to the community that they won't fight a creature unless it's, you know, a net positive for XP or a net positive for profit. When I still maintain that the thing we all should have took out in November with Slayer Month was the fact that we got four new Slayer creatures with unique abilities and new combat mechanics that had not been seen previously in-game. I personally couldn't care less about the XP of these or what they dropped, just that they were trying to be different with combat.
No, Shane, you can't completely devalue the argument that the drops sucked, because the drops sucked. You can't just put when there's a precedent in the game for what a monster should be worth when you kill. Yeah, the experience is all fine and dandy, but if you're not getting anything for it, I'm not just going to go around and, I don't know, slam my head into the wall if I'm not getting paid for it. I'm not going to drink that strange concoction that my middle school friends swirled together.
Whoa, hang on, yes,
$5 and change. I don't know. You got to have a reward. There's got to be some.
But the reward is the Slayer XP.
Well, now it is, and I think that it's good that they've done that now. But there is still the argument of the drops. I think this alleviates it a bit and makes it, well, you get more XP,
they already
so
did buff
you
the drops
okay
on
with
these.
Not getting good drops. So I think that's okay. But as it was released, the month was flawed.
Okay, that we can agree on.
Okay,
but I mean, Jagex should know by this point that this is going to be the reaction of the community, and I mean,
I don't see how it got through balancing the way it did, but
well, I mean, the fact that they fixed it now is a good thing then, right?
Yeah,
if it didn't get through balancing the first time, it means, okay, we're going to look at these things. But I'm just saying that when you look at Slayer Month, the XP, the rewards, should not have been the primary focus of the month.
Yeah, I can agree.
So, I put these in the camp of Rune Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But Rune Dragons are better, though, aren't they?
They are.
They are.
Yes, okay. So.
They're much more profitable.
So take that out of my camp of Rune Dragons. Put it back where it was.
But the thing is, these are like mini-bossing creatures. I think that's what Tanis said. He said, I feel like I'm going to fight a boss.
Why do people go to bosses?
Because they want a combat experience.
No shame. No shame, you're wrong.
Sweet,
I'm sorry.
Sweet RSGP. Them
yeah,
pixels.
Man.
Oh, I should just quit while I'm ahead. I don't get the bossing community. I don't get the PvE community.
He's commandeered the show.
I just don't get it. Why does it always have to be about XP? Why does it have to be about drops? What difference does it make whether you're
96.
Getting... Huh?
Because they're level 96.
They're so?
Some of the highest, strongest creatures in the game. There should be some reward.
It's the difference between extrinsic and intrinsic motivation when it all comes down to it.
That's a lot of big words.
Well, it's... I mean, intrinsic reward, if you feel like you gain satisfaction from that, you don't have to get anything from it. You just, through the experience, are getting enjoyment from it. And I know that, Shane, that's how you work, and you get enjoyment through the experience and through going through the struggle, as it were. But most people, I mean, especially with the younger generations, it's...
I want stuff.
Yeah, I mean, how much are you going to pay me? That sort of mentality. I need something in... So it's about getting through... That's why the space bar is such a common thing for the quest, and I know that we could go on for ages and ages about how sad that is, but it is true, and I think Jagex realizes that. That's at least a large part of their demographic. They need that motivation. They need some extrinsic reward to do something, unfortunately.
And this is ultimately going to be the largest problem for RuneScape in 2016 and going forward, is this whole concept you define, Colton, of extrinsic versus intrinsic motivation.
It is, and I think that's really where Jagex has trouble.
Exactly.
I think that's really where we have trouble getting new players, is because it was easier when...
Everything is so focused on the XP, the rewards, and... Everything like that at the end, it's...
Yeah. You look at all the games that are popular now, it's about getting into it quick and having fun and getting rewards now. But that's not how RuneScape is, and it's so contrarian to modern culture with gaming. That's why I think it struggles. Although, I don't want to say that we're dying, because RuneScape is not dying, just PSA. But...
We're not in that camp yet, and anyone who says such a thing on this show is banned from coming.
Yes,
on the show.
We also don't have League of Legends or Dota type numbers playing the game, because it doesn't appeal to the masses like that does, because it's not supposed to be that way. And so I don't know.
It's from a different era. It's not flashy, and in some ways, that's what Chronicle is designed to bring in with, you know, a RuneScape slant. And
it's more flashy and it's quicker, it is.
Exactly. And, you know, this is a very common thing why some people cannot get into World of Tanks, is because you start off at Tier 1 and you work your way all the way up, and you don't start getting really good until you're at Tier 8 and Tier 9. So it's a long-term investment, much like RS.
I see.
Yeah.
Sorry, I kind of derailed.
Well, I mean, that's good, and it is something that needs to be dealt with, because RuneScape came after World of Warcraft, and the central way of playing RS hasn't changed, but the player demographic has changed. The amount of new people coming into RS has changed. And it's, you know, a major threat to RuneScape's existence, the way people play the game. And this needs to be dealt with sooner rather than later, because if you look at the game, like we've said previously, you have three types of RuneScape: free-to-play, pay-to-play, and Priftinus. And where are the majority of the people right now that you see? All you need to do is walk around the world and you'll find out.
But what can you do if you're Jagex to change that? Because you, either way you go, it's a fundamental shift in the game. You know?
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, you can't just rewrite the game to be modern and whatnot, because you got lore, you got tons of investment, and you got new players who are leveling up. So
exactly.
It's a major problem. It really is.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that
another
note,
news, Nex and the Kalfite King now have boss health bars similar to Yakamaru and Araxi.
Kamu. How does that go again?
Yakamaru.
Yeah, cool. Love it.
Well, it sounds Japanese, right?
Yeah, I know.
So,
I would say something insensitive there, but I won't.
Anyways, I think any large boss that takes up a good chunk of your screen deserves a health bar, and maybe these could also be extended to the other God Wars creatures as well.
Extended?
Especially
nice.
Kree.
Wow.
Because Kree are flies.
Yeah. Kriara doesn't fly anymore.
Really?
No, not since they changed the model in, like, 2011, Shane.
Okay, that Kriara shows stands. When I last went to that part of the God Wars dungeon.
Yeah, he just kind of stands there. He's, like, so big. The model is so large now that it doesn't even fly. Like, I don't think we've ever even, like, in quests or anything, seen Kriara take off. Because it would be so taxing. I can't remember that. Unless it's in cutscenes.
And I mean, if there was the Big Bird quest, something like that might happen, but I think the Big Bird quest got shot down for next year.
Yeah, they're now like 2017 or 2018. It's like, if Rite of Passage ever happens, it's going to be like, it's like Priftinus level soon.
Well, it's going to be National Geographic on the Armadale race, really. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, and it sounded interesting. I don't think it sounded as amazing as some people on Rune Labs and on Twitter make it sound, because so many people want it, but not enough people to actually push it through.
That's the thing. I'm in that camp that enjoys those National Geographic specials on wildlife.
Let's just hope that they make a good quest when it does come out, because I don't want them to wing it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you can also tell, like, they were going to talk about how the Armadale avians reproduce.
I see, Shane.
Okay,
true
Shane.
Motivation.
The truth is revealed.
Well, one would assume it comes from an egg.
That
comes
that
from
would
somewhere, that's right.
Okay, that's pushing it a little bit too far. Other things this week, recolored and repositioned the Santa hat with beard on the player's head. So as you can tell here, I've included a screenshot in the show notes of how perfect this looks now.
Is this you, Shane?
Yes, this is me.
You look lovely.
Thank you.
Shane pictures. Oh, wow, that's real cool.
The green of the farming cape goes well with the red. That red and green Christmassy vibe.
Yeah, I've been wanting to do this for so many years, you know, combine the beard and the hat like that, so. Mm-hmm. I spent about 60,000 loyalty points in removing the hat and adding it back in.
Oh, is that right?
Previous week and this week. So.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, buying the keepsake keys and whatnot. So. Very happy that this has been put into game. So you can see a photo of that at update.rsmb.com in the show notes.
Have you gone around handing out things to children and other players?
Not yet. That'll happen around the 18th or so, I think.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Okay. And RuneScape. Can I have some?
Yes.
Yes. No, he's not going to drive around in his unmarked van. All right, man.
Okay. the player's buff list now holds 18 entries up from 12. Yeah.
That's cool.
Hooray!
And reworked the first trade window and added a new button. Offer all to place all carried tradable items into the trade in one action. Exceptions include bonds and one-for-one trade items.
That's interesting.
It's nice for it really all those is. One times I trade a year.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That's just how
it's
it is,
true,
man.
Though. I mean, trading is so rarely done unless you're forced into it, like you are with one-to-one trade items for promotionals.
Hmm. All right. Anyways, anything else in the patch notes for you guys this week that I might have missed?
No, they're rather skimpy this week. There's not much to glean.
Indeed. Well, starting on Monday the 14th, if you own a pet of seasons, you will get the Christmas pet of seasons pet for free from Solomon's store. It's called Douglas, of course, after the Douglas fir tree. And if you do not own the pet of seasons, you can buy it for 217 ring coins or 195 for members. So
they can make a special attack and defense animation for a tree, but not for the boss pets. I'm just gonna say that. I don't know. Like, this seems a little silly. Why don't they do? Never mind. Boss pet overrides need to be a thing. All I'm gonna say.
Well, don't you think that this tree pet looks nice?
It looks nice, but I think it's a little silly. And it's just like, they didn't even need to do it.
You feeling a little salty about that?
I'm a little salty because they keep bringing out legendary pets and they don't bring in the... I don't even have a boss pet, but for heaven's sake, it's been something that's been tossed around for so long. I think people who have them should... you know, get the ability to do that, personally.
All right. I might pick this up. We'll see.
It would go nice with Shane's outfit.
I think so. Mm. Especially because it's a tree, right? And there's a little pot on the bottom, so it's like a potted plant following you around. Be good for all seasons, actually. But, anyways. Indeed.
Indeed. Do you have the actual pet of seasons?
No, I don't, unfortunately. Okay. So I won't be getting it for free. But Jagex is running a competition for where you can win a gaming laptop over the holiday season. This is going to be an MSI gaming laptop. I assume it's going to be pretty powerful, having the term gaming attached to it. I'm not sure. Do we have any specs on this yet?
No. I'm just having a look here. Yeah, it looks like it's not a Mac, so it will be pretty good.
Thank you, RRMan, for that in-depth analysis.
Move on.
You also have the chance of winning a handmade IRL retro Dragonfire shield,
Cooler Master
gaming gear, bonds, and loads of goodies from the merchandise store. So... I mean, there's lots of things that would be great to win here, wouldn't it? I mean, a laptop for one, the Dragonfire Shield, so definitely.
My only issue is how much of my soul do I have to sell to get these sorts of things? Do I have to share it with my friends?
You do.
Oh, then
they're going to know you play RuneScape, man.
They already know I play RuneScape, but I don't want to shove it in their face. I'm not one of those kinds of people. I have friends like that, and you know what happens to them? They get unfollowed. They get blocked.
Yeah. That's true.
Oh, let's not start about that. But anyways, you just head on over to their Facebook page and enter the competition, and the more you share, the more you like, you have a higher chance of winning, so... Oh, your friends have to enter, so they do actually need to commit to this.
So get spamming.
It's time to make some bot accounts.
No, let's not encourage that.
I'm just kidding.
All right. Stop
RSVNV does not encourage any botting of any sort, ever.
All right, and the final piece of RS news this week, that we have the behind-the-scenes video for next week's tutorial island quest entitled Beneath Cursed Tides. Mm-hmm. Novice-level quest requiring around level 30 or so and a bunch of skills, and we'll find out what happens, or what happened, rather, to Tutorial Island. You guys excited for this?
Very excited.
Somewhat. I would have preferred the bank quest, but what? I think this will be interesting. Yeah, the bank quest. Don't you remember that's what this was up against?
Well, I remember that, but why the bank quest? Why not Tutorial Island?
It sounded so funny. It sounded like a great chance for a lot of tongue-in-cheek, and I feel like this will... I don't know. I'm scared that this will ruin
be,
my...
I'm sure this can be tongue-in-cheek as well.
Yeah, but... I don't know. Bank Quest was just set up for it. It was made for it. But this will be interesting. I'm excited as always as I am for quests. That does not change. And this one being somewhat smaller in perspective adds to that. Because, again, we need that before we head into 2016, which will be a year of large quests, as we know. So,
calm down, Shane. Yeah. Calm down.
And let me just say that we are glad that this is happening next week because Earth is on his way home today, so that is why he's not on the show. So, had the quest have been this week, that would not have worked out well for him. But we'll get to spend some time on Tutorial Island. We will be getting the two-handed sword that Vinaka holds with one hand as an override. We'll also have access to the original Newbie Melody songs. So, lots of nostalgia coming.
There's like a farming D&D or something as one of the rewards or something like
that? Yes, yes. We'll have to wait to pass judgment on that.
Judgment. I'm excited for that.
Vinesweeper V2.
And you see, that's the reason, because you can introduce things like Vinesweeper that are interesting, or you can introduce things that are just plain out blasphemy to farming like the Livid Farm. So so that is why we must wait to pass judgment on this.
Indeed.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to the listener question then. There's your RS updates for the week, everyone. Hopefully you've enjoyed that. And, well, maybe I think I learned something, too, about intrinsic versus extrinsic and a way of applying that to RuneScape. Thank you, Colton.
You're so very welcome. All right.
All right.
So here, I'll read the question. The question is from Trekkie. He says, "Hey nerds, nerd question for y'all. You have just inherited a ton of cash from your second uncle's cousin's half-brother's half-sister's friend, who is a CEO of a tech computer company. In order to have the money, you must use the money on a new tech computer. If you were to create a company that specialized in making laptops and the supplies for your hardware, what would you do to be the next big change in the tech industry as the iPhone 1 was so many years ago?"
I think this is explicitly angled at me, but
yes.
Unless either you guys want to take a stab at it first.
Make faster. Yes, faster.
Make something with better batteries? Question mark.
That is indeed a noble goal.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think battery life would be a good investment of my money.
Whoever cracks that's going to be a rich man or woman.
So basically, the thing you need to take a look at is that, first off, like you guys said, battery life. Ultralight computers these days can go for a full day without being charged, but their CPUs are not overall powerful. So that leads us to the question that we have three things that we can focus on for this next generation computer. One, some kind of battery technology, perhaps related to supercapacitors, that allows to charge up really quick and maintain a large amount of reserve charge. That's number one that we can research with this money. Number two, we want to look at making our CPUs more efficient such that a modern day 2015 ultralight CPU is able to do what a full power notebook CPU is able to do today. That is, increase its performance by 2 or 3 times. And the third thing we want to do with this money is we want to come up with a new interface, either in software or in hardware, that allows us to interact with the computer. Now, I don't know about you guys, but how do you guys feel about iOS and touch?
I use it. That's how I feel about it.
I will also say I use it. I don't like how when you update your old iPod Touch to iOS 9, everything breaks.
Well, I think that just goes for anything with new software and old hardware.
I disagree, but you know, my Windows 10 PC, this is not being a dick or anything, but it runs a lot better now on Windows 10 than 7. So that's, you know, and
exactly.
I put my... So that's good. And now I put my ISO 9 on this iPod Touch, and you know, the podcast app crashes like in every couple of hours as I'm... Why is it crashing? It's just playing podcasts. I don't know.
You should get Pocket Casts.
It's
a lot better than the default iOS app.
I will look into that. Does it sync up with the iTunes list podcaster? Does it? I don't
know. No, the people who run Pocket Casts, our podcast creators, do need to apply their podcast to Pocket Casts. So
I just have to find a way to reverse it back to 8, I think, but that's easier said than done.
Yeah, that is easier said than done. But if you go to pca.st/rsbnb, you get Pocket Casts RSBNB update. And Pocket Casts exists for Android, iOS, Windows, and desktop. So
it's
a good alternative.
RSBNB, so you need
podcaster. Exactly. But on the user interface front, I think we need to
get
a user interface that doesn't exactly focus on the mouse and keyboard as much as it does today. We ultimately need to start looking for ways to move away from the mouse and keyboard. So I'd pour a ton of R&D into doing that.
We should go outside.
We could, actually. We could look into it that way. But, you know, Windows 10 goes a long way to doing this in that you don't exactly need a physical keyboard or mouse anymore to use Windows 10, which I think is great. iOS does the same thing, albeit with a little bit less... flexibility in terms of what you can do with it. So I think we're getting there, but we're not quite there yet for touch. So that would be the third part I'd invest in, would be R&D. And that's basically the three things I want to see happen with the computing world. I don't know how many times I complain, and I don't know if you guys have heard me complain or if the listeners have heard me complain, but I absolutely like talking about alternate peripherals and whether or not we can finally kick the mouse and keyboard to the curb. So, I don't know what we could replace them with yet, but it's definitely something to contemplate. Key example maybe being the LCARS interface from Star Trek. I think that could warrant a usability or human-computer interaction study.
I don't think either of us get the reference, Shane.
I don't understand this reference.
LCARS is basically the computer terminal interface used in the 24th century.
Sorry, I meant I didn't need to know the reference. No, just, sorry. Nah, it's probably cool.
It really is. Anyways, you guys want to add anything else to this?
Nope.
It's good to hear from you, Tricky. Get back on the show, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you want to send questions in, email them to questions@rsbnb.com or visit update.rsbnb.com/ask, where you can type them in with your fingers on the forums, or give us a call to 571-57-BNB, which is 571-572-2632. All right. So we had a question about tech, and it's time to talk more tech. Tech news of the week. So this week was a weird week for tech news. There were about 7 stories we were considering for the tech news segment, and we whittled it down to 3.
Yeah,
so
it was
a very eventful
week.
They
were bloody excellent tech stories, weren't they?
Yeah. So the first one that I think everybody needs to take note of is Microsoft's 2015 security bulletin and the number of horrific patches that need to be applied to the Windows operating system this week. So this is something that I say every month there's a major patching from Microsoft. Make sure you are running your Windows updates automatically. Make sure you are practicing safe computing tips. And all in all, don't be a slouch when it comes to security, because these things are dangerous. There's remote code executions, browser exploits for both Internet Explorer and Edge. Security updates for JavaScript and VBScript that can let someone take over your computer. DNS, which is the service that converts rsbnb.com into an actual numerical address so your browser can go out and fetch the website. So lots of things affecting Microsoft this week. You know, not only ranging from Windows, Internet Explorer, Edge, all the way to, you know, Silverlight and Skype for Business and everything like that. Microsoft Office. So this is definitely one month that you do not want to miss. And some of these are rated as number one, meaning exploit is more likely. So very important to run your Windows updates this week.
Mm-hmm. I restart my computer every day. I would assume that these patches have already been installed onto my system. Because I don't watch it. I'm pretty sure I've gone through Windows updates recently every time I restart. But
it should
basically
be automatic.
If it's set to automatic, you can just verify this by going into the Start menu and typing Update. Click on Windows Update. It'll check for updates, and it should say that you're completely up to date. And if it does that, you're good.
Okay, cool. Now, thank you.
But, I mean, the vast majority of these do require system restart. So if you're the kind of person that resists restarting, second Tuesday of the month is probably the best time to restart. Well, yeah, I mean, we're in an era where Windows computers can run for, you know, upwards of 2 months plus if you let them.
I shut down
restarted.
Every day. That's just what I do. Always have.
Okay.
Save that power.
But
the thing that always bothers me is when you shut down a computer, why doesn't it do the updates? It's probably really obvious, but I shut it down. You have to restart. Why can't it shut down and do it when it's... Is there a reason for that?
The reason is that when you shut down the computer, it basically needs the system active to apply the update, but it can't have the processes running.
Okay.
So it's just easier to do it on the restart side of things. Though there are some updates that prepare on the shutdown phase and then install on the startup phase. So you do not want to interrupt those restarts, because otherwise you can get broken updates.
It's a bad idea.
It really is. It really is. All right, so run your Windows updates, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Our next story is that Microsoft Cortana is now available on iOS and Android in the U.S. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to test it yet because it's not in Canada. I'm not sure if it's in New Zealand there. You could probably check the App Store for that.
Probably could.
I'll look for it right now.
Much like the problem with Google Now for iOS is that you can't get the deep level system integration, so it can't access your phone, and it just can't be as powerful as Siri is on an iPhone or Google Now, unless you have a specific version of Android installed, because apps just don't get that kind of access to the system, which is mainly for security reasons. So what the CyanogenMod folks did, they produced their own distribution of Android, is they have now a working version of Android with Cortana deeply integrated. So if you don't like Google, you can get basically a Microsoft-branded version of Android using Cortana.
Mm-hmm.
Seems legit.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's some debate as to which one's the best. in terms of keeping you up to date. Siri doesn't do anything proactive, as in it doesn't, you know, remind you when you have appointments coming up or something like that. But it requires its third-party applications to do that. Whereas Google Now is a central part of the operating system, and it will remind you when you have an appointment coming up. Cortana can do the same thing on Windows Phone. So those two are kind of equal in that regard. Siri is still a step back. I'd expect that to change with iOS 10. But if you are at all interested in seeing what Cortana looks like on iOS and you're in the US or China, you can have a look at how it works. And who knows, maybe it just might convert some people to Windows Phone.
Come on, say that without a laugh.
No, I mean, I honestly think it's a direction people can expect things to go, is that rather than iOS to Android, expect people to go iOS to Windows Phone.
Yeah.
Because I honestly think that all Android, except for, you know, the versions provided by Google that are clean and, you know, relatively bare and provide a nice experience, are crap.
All right, I'm going to try this out. All right, here we go. Cortana, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop?
One, two, three, three.
No, I got Cortana, it. That's wrong.
I got
here at Purdue found it takes 364, but here, sorry.
I got another great one for you to ask it, Colton, and put it closer to the microphone this time. Ask it what its favorite TV series is.
Cortana, what's your favorite TV series?
I'm a big fan of Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Oh.
There you go, Shane.
And with that, you can find Cortana in the iOS App Store or on Google Play if you are in the US or China. So have at it. Or, of course, if you have Windows 10, you also get Cortana.
Very good. Very good.
I just figured I'd insert that.
I thought that that would be the answer. It's like, he wouldn't say that if it weren't Star Trek. So,
what if you ask what the best movie is?
Okay, we got time for one more. You can ask it that.
Oh, I closed the app. Hold on. All right. Cortana, what's your favorite movie?
I can't pick just one, but I like those movies where the bad guy makes a long speech at the end, giving the hero time to escape danger.
Damn it. Should have said Star Wars.
Nothing.
See, Cortana definitely has more wit than Siri, I think.
She has more personality, I feel. More comfortable talking to Cortana.
All right, and in our final piece of tech news this week, question. Has Google really started using quantum computing? So, a bit of a background for everyone here. In the modern world, and in your computer that you're sitting in front of or listening to this on, we use binary-based computing. That is, bits inside your computer, inside your CPU, inside the memory, and so on, can be set to either 1 or 0, on or off, effectively. And that allows us to do great ranges of calculations, although certain kind of calculations are slow for that, such as, you know, natural language processing. Does a computer know what I'm saying right now? Not really. That's hard. But I'm getting down a rabbit hole here. But anyways, standard binary-based computing that your device uses that you're listening to this podcast on works in ones and zeros, whereas quantum computing involves something called a qubit that can have multiple states. It can either be on, it can be off, or it can be on and off simultaneously. Hence the term a qubit, and various levels of quantum interaction, which is probably beyond the realm of most what people feel comfortable with in terms of physics. Now, the idea is when a bit can have multiple levels, such as on, off, and simultaneously on, you're able to process things faster. And the idea is this will allow us to solve problems that we currently can't solve, problems that are very hard to solve. So things like this include, oh, I don't know, maybe factoring large prime numbers to break encryption keys, or, you know, solving huge permutations of various computer science problems that are so-called memory hard. Now, Google has been working on this for a long time, and every year it seems, oh, we've had a breakthrough in quantum computing, but they haven't really been proven to be breakthroughs in that. So the question is this year the breakthrough? And the question seems to be pointing to the general answer of yes, but we won't know more until, you know, more research papers come out and the actual hardware is looked at. But it's certainly very interesting for our existence today. You guys have any questions?
I don't know how RR Man feels. It's kind of confusing to me, but...
Where would you like to start?
I don't know. I like to leave it up to you smart people types.
Okay, well, basically, let me just say that... let me just say that if something takes... Let's see. On this graph here, a standard computer takes 10 to the 14 microseconds to perform a problem, right?
Yeah.
Whereas the quantum computer supposedly only takes 10 to the 4 microseconds to solve the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see what kind of benefit the quantum computer is supposedly giving us here.
Faster, faster, faster. Make things faster, like I said earlier.
So if we can apply this to modern computing and get it down to a phase where we can start manufacturing these chips for a few hundred dollars as we do now, well, our entire perception of the computing world changes. Mm-hmm. So it's a necessary step to take. And, you know, once somebody has actually shown that they have a working quantum computer, then everyone will start jumping up and down. But the point of this story is that it still hasn't been proven yet, and you can expect computers to continue on in the same general direction for the foreseeable future.
Very neat.
Yeah. Hmm. The biggest thing that will come from this is that one day, once this barrier gets broken, we'll be able to break encryption. So.
Lovely.
That's that. I know, right?
Yeah.
All right. Sorry if that piece of tech news went over anyone's head, but
I think I sort of 50-50 understood that.
Okay. Well, if anyone has any further questions about quantum computing, feel free to submit a question in the following weeks on the podcast. Okay, so there's your tech news, everyone. Let's talk about Skill of the Month, shall we?
Yeah, let's talk about Skill of the Month.
Well, it's the Fletching Skill of the Month, and a fellow by the name of Sorensen57 is currently in the lead with 13,070,000 Fletching XP gained. Well, Lord Fast Wesley is in second place with 2.4 million XP gained, and Parnassius is in third with 1.9 million XP gained. It appears as though... Sorry, Colton, that distracted me. But it appears as though everyone else has slowed down.
Yeah. Sorensen, man, he's going strong. What a legend. He's a pretty cool dude.
Is he going to continue?
Yeah, I think so. He just wants to go up and up and up.
All right. And
on top, that's for sure.
Do you know what he's doing in terms of method?
He's doing broad arrows.
Okay.
Lord.
And how do I know such a thing?
Day.
I may have a exchange offer on there.
Ooh. Okay.
I think he's going for 120, but I'm not actually sure. So, but he's getting there.
Oh, that works.
Get a chunk out of it.
I mean, I think that he is catchable if the person who wants to do that gets going right now. And
I think Vanessius is crying, is what he told me. He's not very happy, Vanessius. So.
Oh, yeah. Lord Fast Wesley is not happy either. So, but, I mean, there's no bonus XP involved, right?
I wouldn't think so. He would have used it a long time ago if there was.
Exactly. Exactly. So.
Nah, it's just a lot of money. It's one of those buybles, you know?
Yeah, and that's the way these shake out, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's how Sazen does it. He pays for it.
Yeah, with RS money, which is the way it should
RS
be.
RS money, yeah.
Okie dokie. So, moving on to the achievements of the week, we do have another record set this week in that we have 19 achievements to mention. Mm-hmm. 17 of which are from one person. So I'll start off with the first two, then I'll let you two alternate on the rest. First up, Sirion got 99 Fletching on December 6th. Congratulations to you. You'll remember him. He was on last week. And Colton got 99 Crafting on December 5th. It seems you're always on when you get an achievement.
Hooray! Yeah, I've been getting more and more. I'm about to get 99 Cooking, too, so that'll be on next week. And then I'll have, I think, 6 left. So, and they're all above 90.
Me.
So. I don't want a max.
Me neither.
Once invention is out, that'll be nice. But yeah.
But sometimes you just gotta let it happen.
Yeah, it just happens naturally.
Yeah.
Anyhow, all right, here we go. Jesse Pinkman got 99 agility on December 4th, 2015.
Jesse Pinkman got 99 attack on December 4th, 2015.
Jesse Pinkman got 99 construction on December 4th, 2015.
Jesse Pinkman got 99 crafting on December 4th, 2015.
Jesse Pinkman got 99 defense on December 4th, 2015.
Jesse Pinkman, once again, 99 farming. Good on for Shane, December 4th, 2015. We got Hunter, 99 Hunter on December 4th. That's Jesse Pinkman again.
Jesse Pinkman also with 99 magic on December 4th, 2015.
Now, I can't... What's his name? It's Jesse Pinkman got 99 mining December 4th, 2015.
Jesse Pinkman.
Pinkman. Yeah, I think you got it.
Pinkman. Yep. Got 99 prayer on December 4th, 2015.
Jesse Pinkman, 99 range December 4th, 2015.
Jesse Pinkman, 99 Runecrafting, December 4th, 2015.
Walter White, 99 Smithing, December 4th, 2015.
I think you mean Jesse Pinkman. Jesse Pinkman also got 99 Strength on December 4th, 2015.
Jesse Pinkman, 99 Summoning, December 4th, 2015.
And lastly, Jesse Pinkman with 99 Thieving on December 4th, 2015. Congrats, Jesse.
Well done, mate.
Wow.
Impressive.
Very.
Congratulations, Jesse Pinkman, a.k.a. Flash. You've beat the previous record, which I believe was held by Garden Girl. I don't know if I'm getting that name 100% right, but the previous record was 13. You've broken that with 17, so the next person to break this record is going to have a lot of work to do. But congratulations nonetheless.
Gonna have to make a new account and max it all at once. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, this just proves that if somebody were to do this and multiple people were to do this, we would read all of them out.
Mm-hmm. We sure do.
So, I mean, if somebody wants to have an entire show called Achievements of the Week, then get your friends together and head over to the RSBNB forums at rsbnb.com. You sign up. And then once you've been a member for, I believe it's 14 days, and make a welcoming post or a post anywhere with post count, you'll be added to the community high scores and your stats will be tracked. And any 99 you get will be added to the podcast. So that is how you do it. And if you want an entire episode like this, well, just get a few friends together who listen to the podcast and all max on the same day using the same skills, and we'll read out 75 achievements of the week.
That's a very excellent plug right there, Shane.
I know, eh?
Yeah, right on.
Okie dokie. So it's also December, so if you want to send in clips for our clip show that we do every year, just head on over to update.rsbnb.com/clips, and you can fill out our form for the clip show. We ask for the episode number and the time during the show. Also, we want us to have a description of the clip, so you can just tell us a bit about what we're looking for and why it should be on the show. And finally, if you want a shout out to your RuneScape name, forum name, or Twitter handle, you can include that too, and we'll give that to you. So clip show is made up from clips that I've taken out for the rest of the year, and of course what you guys tell us you want to hear on the clip show. So if something was funny or just downright silly, definitely include it in this form at update.rsbnb.com/clips.
Should be a
good
one.
I think you both have used this, right?
Yeah, I've got a few more to send in.
Well, we're looking forward to it. update.rsbnb.com/clips. All right, so the RR Man, you have a pick of the week.
I do. It's something that whenever I listen to, I think of Shane, to be honest. I think of you just because of its being from Canada. Not the show is nothing like you at all, but there's a very popular show that a lot of people will have probably heard of. It's called Trailer Park Boys. It's a sort of a mockumentary of a group of layabouts, I guess you'd call them, that live in a trailer park in Canada. And so it's been going on for about 8 or 9 seasons, and it's actually on Netflix now as well. They got, like, you know, a Netflix contract and all that. So, yeah, it's popular enough to be going for that long. But now they do a podcast, which just recently started, and it's just as funny as the show. Very crude, very R18, I'd probably have to say. But if you feel like a laugh and... it'd be good to listen to after RSBNB. Yeah, get into it. Just a PSA, really.
All right, and you said rated R/18, so we do have to give that disclaimer out there that if you're not...
If you're a little kid, probably stay away. Your parents probably won't like that, but let's face it, a lot of us RuneScape players are going up in the ages now.
Yep. All right, and I assume you can find this on iTunes, yep.
Yeah, iTunes, all the regular places, I'm assuming. I think they do it in a video form as well. But, you know, I'm all about the podcasts.
All right. Well, you can find that at update.rsmovie.com. Link is in the show notes. So, what have we been doing this week? Let's start with you, Mr. RR Man.
On RuneScape, I have actually been doing a lot of woodcutting. I think I've decided I want to get a 120 woodcutting cape. So I've been at the Crystal Trees, been using the all the auras I have, all 4 of them. I think I've got the woodcutting one, the festive one, the Dwarven Instinct, and I think I actually got the wisdom one, even though it's not that great. But yeah, I sit there doing some woodcutting, watching some YouTube.
All right, sounds good. How about you, Mr. Colton?
On RS, I did the Christmas event, and been just using the nice AFK cooking to get to, I hit 98 last night, and 99 will be probably in the next couple days. Other than that, I just finished up once the requirements were released. Apparently there was a little confusion for me on, like, Dimension of Disaster and things like that, so just working towards that Master Quest cape. Now I'm just, it's a waiting game, so yeah, that's what I've been up to.
All right. I wish you all the best luck in getting that as quick as you can. I mean, you definitely got the hard work out of the way, right?
Yeah, definitely the hardest stuff is done. But yeah, I'm not a patient person, so this is the hardest part for me.
Right.
You seem like a very patient and calm person, to be honest.
Oh, I'm not.
That must be very different in real in person.
Maybe. I don't know.
You seem like one of the most chilled people, other than Shane.
Like a Vulcan stone face kind of person?
Exactly. That reference all over.
I totally understand what that is.
Okay. Anyways, as for me this week on RS, you know, just continuing on with the herb farming, been alternating between Felstock and Toadflax. The Toadflax is to make money.
Yeah.
Yes. And Felstock is for the prayer renewals, which I'm using as my main form of XP and selling them because I can buy the mushrooms and then, you know, just sell the potions off for still a profit. So that's good. But it's slow going because I'm farming my own, but that's the way I want to do it. Yeah, so
growing your own is the best way.
Yeah, it really is. Because, I mean, it kind of gives you that Iron Man feeling without going full committed on it.
Yeah, it could even give you that Iron Man feeling.
That's what I said.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, aside from that, just been wrestling with the fact that I need to do temple trekking and trying, you know, to push myself to do that and get it out of the way because I kind of want to do that. I also kind of want to go for the Taskmaster emote, but the Dungeoneering tasks on that are just are pushing me back too. But as you can tell, there's a bit of animosity between me and Dungeoneering. So
you don't say.
yeah. But
mini games, you gotta love it.
Well, yeah. So also been doing the sinkholes to try and blunt that problem a bit as well.
Yeah.
So
that's the way to go if you really hate Dungeoneering. Just sinkholes every day. That's the Pern way.
Yep, especially when you have all these sinkhole, or rather daily D&D reset tokens built up.
Yeah, I've actually got like 12 of those. So.
Oh yeah, I got like 25.
Oh wow. Oh.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, no, that was my... Mm-hmm.
Yoda. I love that from last week, by the way. That was excellent.
Oh dear. Anyways, that's it for this week's episode of RSBNB Update, everyone. Thank you for joining us, Colton and the RR Man.
It's good to be here.
And with that being said, we'll see you all next week. Have a great week, and remember to visit us in your friends chat, Bits Bytes.
Peace out.
See you guys.